recently learned about hyperverbal autism, everything suddenly made sense. Like, more sense than it had made before. And immediately after that, I realized there was a lot of neurodivergent grief. And so I wanted to talk to you about that on this week's Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Show and share about my neurodivergent grief circles. Join us. You're listening to Feather Mane Soul Wisdom, a podcast for those looking to rediscover their wild spirit in spite of life's challenges. If you're living with a chronic illness or neurodivergent or consider yourself disabled and you're looking to connect with your own inner untamed essence, then this show is for you. Your host is Kit Kelsto, Wild Spirit Storyteller. Thanks for listening, and now on to the episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Show. I'm Kit Kelsto, your host. Thanks so much for your patience. I had a bit of a break, worked out some technical issues that I was experiencing. My main file server went down, so I had to get everything back up and running. But we are back, and I wanted to talk to you today about hyperverbal autism and neurodivergent grief because I saw an explanation on social media. A therapist or clinician was explaining what hyperverbal autism is and why it's often the reason that people assigned female at birth were not diagnosed as autistic back in the 80s, 70s, 90s. Long time ago. So let me start by just giving a brief overview of what that is. Hyperverbalism is known as a communication processing style. It is so much more than just talking a lot. And I received a lot of feedback in elementary school and in middle school about, you know, I talked a lot. I come from a family of storytellers. Now, I'm the only one that's a published author, although that was my mother's dream for a long time. But my mom, my grandpa, my dad to some extent, if you get them talking about things that interest them, for example, my mother was a nurse. And so she would talk to her nurse friends about, you know, the cases, the patients, maybe, you know, findings that they had, what they're discovering, whether different employers were good or not. And once you got one of my relatives talking, you pretty much were guaranteed not to leave wherever you were for like an hour. And so hyperverbalism, I think, is something that I saw a lot in my family. And when I talk about neurodivergent grief, I will get into that in a little bit more. Some of the key characteristics are advanced language skills. Speaking with big words, those $5 words, complex or very technical vocabulary, often from a young age. Needing to verbalize thoughts out loud to process them. And so that's something I catch myself doing quite often throughout the day to process like what I want to do next. I'll be like, okay, I need to do this and this and this. Or as I'm doing something, I will speak the steps to whatever that is out loud to kind of be able to internalize and process them. Monopolizing conversations. So this means talking at length about very specific interests, such as your special interest, without realizing that others have tuned out or want to add something to. The one that I really see myself in a lot is the lack of a filter. And this is a difficulty parsing or prioritizing or moderating your speech volume and speed. Quite often I will discover I've been talking really, really loud when I did not mean to. And then finally, a key characteristic of this is using speech as a stem by finding a favorite word, phrase, or talking in rhythmic patterns. And so an example of this is there was a commercial where the jingle was avocados from Mexico. And at the time, my spouse and I were taking turns traveling from where we live up into Iowa to see our family. And one of the towns we'd pass through is Mexico, Missouri. And so we'd always, you know, text each other landmarks. And so for probably about 2 years, when I reached Mexico, I would text my husband and say, avocados from Mexico, Missouri. And, you know, I thought that was funny as heck. He was just kind of like, whatever. But that's the sort of sensory seeking or soothing that you get from languages. And so hyperverbalism, being so much more than just simply talking a lot, brings with it some challenges. First of all, it can lead to social burnout because people are going to perceive you as dominating the conversation, as being self-centered, as being arrogant or overbearing when you are speaking past expected social thresholds. And that's one of those non-spoken, non-delineated rules that neurotypicals have about how you're supposed to act when you're out in society that never gets communicated in a helpful way to neurodivergent people. It just gets used to basically tell us how we're different. It can mean that social cues are missed because of the way that you process language, the type of advanced language skills that may mask challenges and interpreting sarcasm or tone or even turn-taking. It also can be very exhausting because we're not just speaking in this manner. This is also how the internal monologue goes in your mind. And so that internal hyperverbal processing where your thought speed, your emotional volume, trying to figure out social cues can be extremely, extremely exhausting. And so I am not a therapist, and so I don't feel like I can, you know, speak too much on hyperverbal autism except as somebody who experiences this. But what it does do is it brings up the topic of neurodivergent grief. And neurodivergent grief is a topic that, at least for me personally, I have been extremely interested in and exploring. In fact, I spearheaded the publishing of an anthology back in 2021 on neurodivergent grief because the topic interests me back then. Now that I have become a certified pet loss grief specialist and a certified grief coach, I really am seeing the intersections and the ways that grief really connect with a neurodivergent experience. And so neurodivergent grief shows up with the hyperverbal autism in many different ways. One of the first ways I've already touched upon, and that is if your natural way of speaking, if the way your brain processes words, if the words and vocabulary you like to use, and the way, you know, my spouse explained it was that he likes to use exact words. So if he has one of those $5 words, to borrow a phrase from publishing, if he has one of those big words that means something specific, he's going to use that rather than a less specific, simpler word. I'm reminded a bit about my college experience and how, you know, the professors really looked for certain terms related to my discipline. And some of these terms I had not heard of because they did not come up, like, and I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce it right, but heuristic or pedagogy. Words like that, that seem to be very, very specific and very big, can affect the verbal processing. And that, so there's grief there, because if the way that you are speaking is not accepted by the vast majority of people. And let's be honest, a lot of hyperverbal autistic people grew up and went through a large portion of their adult life not realizing they were autistic. And so they basically internalized the grief that the problem was them, that they are not right. We know that's not correct. And that's something that with Wild Spirit Storytelling, I really am working to get to the heart of and help change the thought processes for people who have internalized those stories that don't belong to them. But there's grief there because, for one, there's grief of not being accepted. There's grief of not being considered a part of a group or as an adult, never fitting into a workplace situation, never feeling, never feeling as if you could fit in or as if you're going to fit in. And that gets exhausting in and of itself when you have that experience over and over again. It also means that you're constantly misunderstood. And it means that you start to second guess the way you present yourself in the world. And that second guessing starts to lead to isolation. It starts to lead to burnout, depression, and it starts to lead to pulling back and not participating in the things that bring you joy. And so there's grief over the lost joy. There's grief over the feeling like you're not able to be in the world as you are. And there's grief for the what ifs. There's grief for the what if I were different? What if, you know, my communication style were different? And you start to think about that, and it can really bring up a lot, and it can really be a lot. And so that's why I really think something that does not get talked about enough, it is that people need to talk about neurodivergent grief. And that is why if you go to feathermanesoul.com and click on events, you will notice that I am now running a monthly neurodivergent grief circle. What this circle is, we come together over Zoom. Cameras are totally optional. You don't even have to talk if you don't want to. We'll start, I'll give a little reading, a little talk, maybe podcast length about where I'm focusing right now or what's caught my attention in this space. And then we just open up the floor. And this is a time for you to bring what grief you're experiencing, bring what grief you're dealing with as related to your neurodivergent identity, and share it with the group. If you feel like you want to ask for advice, you certainly can. But the focus of this is not an advice circle. In fact, I would suggest, and one of the rules is you don't give advice unless somebody asks for it. A lot of times people just want to be heard. They want to be witnessed. They want to have their experiences validated. If somebody asks for assistance, you know, we'll talk that over. Otherwise, it's just a matter of sharing and perhaps sitting with or working through those emotions that come up in the moment. It's a very gentle place. Grief circles last anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes, and they are free to attend, although I would love a small donation. I've set a suggested amount of $5 to help offset my cost in running those. Again, it's feathermanesoul.com/events. But beyond that, beyond attending a grief circle, how can you deal with the grief and the emotions around being a hyperverbal individual? And how can you handle that and make that better, make that experience better for you? Well, first of all, it comes back to a core tenet of my work, and that is remembering that you're not broken. If anything, the system in which we live and the society and culture in which we live is broken. You're not broken. You're not wrong. however your brain processes that, you know, information, however verbal or not verbal you are, however you feel like communicating in a given moment, is not wrong. It is not something that you should, you know, try to tuck away or hide from the world, because your emotions are real and your emotions are valid and you have something of value to contribute. Now, this is usually about the time when people look at me and kind of go, yeah, right, I've heard this all before. However, it is important to remember that you do have something of value to contribute and that your contributions are welcome regardless of what people tell you or how those contributions are perceived. The way I look at it is this: we each have core values inside of us. You know, they might be things like be kind, be consistent, do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it, be reliable, be creative, be curious. As long as you are acting within those values, and of course, you know, those values would not include like doing harm to other people or hurting other people. Those are not core values. But when you act within core values that are deep inside yourself and that do not actually wish or create harm on another person, then you're doing the best you can with what you have. And the other person has to meet us halfway. At least. Communication is a two-way street. The very idea that neurotypical people expect neurodivergent people to completely ignore our own innate communication style, our own innate ways of processing things in order to be easy and convenient for them is, excuse my French, bullshit. Communication is a two-way street. They need to meet us halfway at the very least. If we're doing the best we can and they're not reaching out at all, then that is on them. If we're doing the best we can and they're trying to understand and we're trying to find some center mutual ground, that's great. But that should not mean suppressing or denying our own communication styles, the way our brains work, and how we process information. And that includes being hyperverbal. I feel pretty strongly about that, if you can't tell. And so I think, for me, learning about hyperverbal autism, which was something that until I had seen this post, I did not know about, hadn't been brought to my attention, I honestly thought that the way I spoke, the way I thought, the way my speech patterns were, was actually part of my ADHD. I thought it was the impulse control and that, you know, that's how that works. So the fact that being hyperverbal can affect our speech patterns and the way that we're understood also can be masked by other conditions or other ways that our neurodivergent brains work, all of that really kind of comes together to prove and to show that we each communicate in our own unique ways. And the most accessible communication is the communication that's easiest for us and the communication that allows us to be as authentic and as comfortable in that communication setting as possible. So I just wanted to throw this out there, especially with an invite to the grief circles. I am really curious what you think about hyperverbal autism or maybe some of the grief that's come up around your speech patterns or the ways that you process information. If you're seeing this on a platform that allows comments, I would love to hear your comments below. If not, you can go to feathermanesoul.com, click on blog, and you'll see this post and drop me a comment on the blog post. I really hope you can make the grief circle. Thank you so much for listening, and please don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're hearing my voice. You've been listening to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Podcast, hosted by Kit Kailstow. Learn more about Feather Mane Soul at feathermanesoul.com. As a wild spirit storyteller, Kit is passionate about helping those who are neurodivergent, disabled, or living with chronic illness rediscover their own inner wild spirit. Visit FeathermaneSoul.com to receive free gifts or book a free call with Kit to discuss how wild spirit storytelling can help you. Music is Running with the Horses by Purple Planet Music. This podcast is hosted on the Muse Charmer Media Network. Find out more by visiting FeathermaneSoul.com/show and following the links to the Muse Charmer Network. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow wherever you're hearing my voice, or tell a friend who may be interested. Thank you.